I'm Linda Hoffman, wife of Pastor Mark Hoffman, and been working with women for a long time, and first spent 15 years in education and ran a junior high department at our schools. But I told you we were going to talk about navigating the minefield and the truths about the inner working processes of women and acts that you can do to really improve your relationship with the women that you love. And I said that we were going to do 7 points. And I wanted to say 2 years ago, I came and talked about what women want. And I had polled 150 women. Well, today, we're going to talk about how they think, all right? You're going to understand what they want because of how they think. And I am really going to summarize a book for you from Shanti and Jeff Feldman. They are best-selling authors, and they wrote, first Shanti wrote the book, What Women, For Women Only, all right? And she wrote it about how men think. Well, it sold 2 million copies, and then the men said, how about one for us? So she wrote the book, For Men Only, about the thinking processes of women. And as I went through this, I realized their findings were the things that explained mine. Women want this, and they said, now why? So I'm really going to go through this with you. But first of all, I want to say that we all know that the sexes are very, very different. We know that. And a Spanish teacher was teaching the language to these Americans, and she said every noun in Spanish is either masculine or feminine. For example, la casa is feminine. It means the house. El lapis is masculine. It means the pencil. So somebody asked, what's a computer? And she put them into two groups and said, you come up with the answer. Let's figure out. And this is their findings. Let's put up that first screen. The men said the computers were female. No one but their creator understood their internal logic. The native language they used to communicate with other computers is incomprehensible to everyone else. Even the smallest mistake is stored in long-term memory for possible later retrieval. And as soon as you make a commitment to one, you find yourself spending half your paycheck on accessories for it. The women, however, said that computers were male. In order to do anything with them, you have to turn them on. Two, they have a lot of data but still can't think for themselves. Three, they're supposed to help you solve problems, but half the time they are the problem. And four, as soon as you commit to one, you realize that if you had waited a little longer, you could have gotten a better model. So we're very different. We're going to talk about the differences, but I'm going to make a couple disclaimers first. Number one, the 80-20 principle, all right? This is going to work for 80%, and for 20%, it isn't. People are different. Women are different. Some are more masculine than others. So if I'm saying something about what women are thinking, we're talking about 15,000 women that were polled, mature and immature. So 80-20 principle. Number two, there's maturity versus immaturity. So in a mature woman, God is the source of her security in life. No human being can ever take the place. And if she's loved deeply by God and understands that, then you're going to have a lot of maturity in your relationship. She's going to go to God for understanding. The immature, well, the mature have also navigated this male-female road a little bit. They've communicated with someone. They've talked through things. So the relationship has probably matured. Love got stronger. For the immature, they're probably pretty new to the opposite sex. They think that they ought to think just like me, and they shut down, get angry, get defensive, and the truth is everyone can grow and change. So as we're going through this, and you're thinking about your own life, 80-20, mature versus immature, because the main point is that you're trying to get something you want. You want a more fulfilled, harmonious, intimate relationship with the woman that you love, and we confuse and frustrate you. We understand that. You kind of think of us as a minefield. No matter what you do, no matter how hard you try, at some random, unexpected point, she's going to erupt, doesn't make sense, and you just have to wait it out. But they can be mapped, and they can be understood. And I want to help you understand how the average woman thinks without trying. It's just there. So I'm going to give you a truth. I'm going to tell you why she does these certain things and the solution. What should you do in response? But the third disclaimer I want to make is that masculinity is attractive and desirable. She really wants you to lead and to know where you're going. You are not her son. You are not her child. She doesn't need an emotional guy, scared, complaining, asking her to solve problems. She needs a strong problem solver, but she's emotional. So the goal, my goal is not for you to become emotional like her, but to understand where that emotion is coming from so you know how to respond with success. So seven key findings. Number one, she needs to feel loved. Even if your relationship is great, your mate has a fundamental insecurity about your love. And when that insecurity gets triggered, she's going to respond in ways that confuse or upset you until she feels reassured. She's going to be preoccupied with getting the relationship back on track. So the deal is never really closed in the mind of a woman. You pursued her with all the creativity and the resources you could muster. The wedding day came and you closed the deal. It was done. But it doesn't feel permanently closed to her once the marriage papers are signed. It's surprising how easy it is for her to not feel loved. So there's this latent insecurity in her, whether you really love her or not, whether she's really truly lovable. So when that insecurity gets triggered, then she starts worrying about the relationship. She shows signs of distress until that concern gets resolved. So what are some of the signs of distress? All of you are going to relate to this. Number one, she says, do you love me? Even though you just said yesterday you loved her. You look at her like, I told you that yesterday. Or she wants to talk about the relationship mostly at times you least want to. Let's have that PowerPoint. Courtney thinks it's high time for her and Josh to face up to a few things. Josh thinks high time is some years away yet. So it takes your need for space. She takes your need for space as a signal that you're upset with and trying to get away from her. Or she suddenly turns critical or angry with you for no reason, then you can't figure it out. Or she wants to punish you for going out with the guys, spending time, or doing things without her. So you react. You get confused, frustrated, angry, maybe you withdraw, and you think she just needs space like the guys, all right? She's going to figure it out, and she's going to come back and tell you what she needs. So those crazy behaviors are like warning signs on a dashboard of a car. They indicate a breach in your wife's confidence about your love for her. So you got to remember that your I do, never completely sealed the deal for her. Now, guys occasionally think about the closeness of a relationship, like on a birthday or an anniversary. Can I have the next slide? These guys are together, guys' night. Husbands like to meet with friends for a chat. This husband has been talking with his friends for 2 hours about which Doctor Who would win in a game of hide and seek. But he has forgotten to ask whether his friends' wives and children are still living with them or even alive. Guys aren't thinking about the relationship. So women, 7 out of 10, it's nearly always on their mind. And women with children that are in middle school or younger, 91% said they were concerned about that closeness. So they're thinking about this. Whereas with guys, providing is what is usually running around in the guy's head. Providing, if it's not going well, kind of messes things up on all level. Like if you're worried about losing your job or a few mistakes could get you fired or the economy's kind of shaky, it makes a really big difference when your boss reassures you that your job is secure. These things are going on, but you're good. Well, it's kind of the same way with the women. She needs reassurance from you. You say, well, I'm faithful, I go to work, I love her, I'm still here. But that should make her feel secure, but it doesn't always. So what are some of the hidden triggers? Number one, conflict. This quote, a lot of desperate feelings surface for me when I feel like my husband is displeased with me. I'm a pretty independent person, but it still really affects me all day long. So conflict brings up that insecurity. Or number two, your silence or your withdrawal. Men retreat into silence for a couple reasons. They want to escape unwanted feelings or trying to figure out how to articulate. I'm not sure what I think about this, right? Well, women see that as you are moving away from them. So you need to reassure her. I'm not mad, don't worry, just concerned about work. Conflicts, withdrawal, and number three, her emotional bank account is depleted. She may be exhausted, young kids are in the home, you've been gone a lot, you haven't had a lot of time together, so her insecurity gets triggered, all right? I remember one time with Mark when the kids were really little and I was frustrated and he said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "Well, I didn't marry you to stay home with kids and never see you." Now there's a key word, never. We all know we're not supposed to say never or always, right? Because that's just not the truth. I saw him all the time. Should have reworded that, I've learned. He was pretty baffled. He was thinking, I wake up next to you. I work all day long for you. I take care of the cars. I wrestle with the boys. But I wanted and needed time alone. And we worked out a solution. One date night a week if possible. You know, things come in. But if I could have that, then all the other stuff was going to be okay. All the other stuff fell to the ground because I knew that that time together was coming. So we've got these hidden triggers. Then what's a practical guide to turn off the warning light? So there's the warning light. What do we do to turn them off? So number one, in the face of insecurity, you need to reassure her about your love. Guys in conflict want, you know, time alone to process, but women are the opposite. If you said, "I'm angry right now, but I need some space, but I want you to know we're okay," then 95% of the women polled said this one step on the part of men would diminish or eliminate the emotional turmoil on my part. You're communicating something. I've got this thing. It's not about you. We're okay. Or we're even angry with each other, but we're going to make it through this, but we're okay. So reassure her of your love. Then stomp to the garage if you need to do it, but at least we know we're going to work this out. Number two, she doesn't need space. She needs a hug. So Mark and I went to a marriage class, and they said, when you argue, hold hands. Well, I had a really hard time with that. I wanted to move away and yell from the opposite side of the room. Well, Mark would say, "No, we're going to hold hands." And I think, "No, we're not going to hold hands." He goes, "Come here, hold my hand." So I resisted. He pursued, and it made me feel secure. He's saying, "Don't go away. I want to know what's wrong." He would break through my defenses by just holding my hand. He was saying, "Our relationship's important, even though I'm frustrated right now." A quote by one of the women was, "All I want him to know is that half the time I'm just as confused as he is, but instead of getting upset and leaving me all alone to calm down, I just want him to come close and give me a hug and let me know he loves me and he wants me to feel better again." So even if she's being difficult or critical or resistant or pushing you away, I mean, you can say, "Fine, suit yourself. I've got the lawn to mow anyway," and then go outside and put the incident out of your mind. That's in the other box. You got a new box open. Well, she can't. Women don't have boxes. And she's going to remain there in that state until the reassurance comes back. So number three, persistent pursuit. And I'm not going to exhaust you with this, but this quote, "Reassurance heals insecurity, but pursuit prevents a lot of insecurity." We have to fill up her emotional bank account. So all those little things you did to win her, you suddenly stopped doing them. You got married, you suddenly stopped doing them, and it seems to them like you stopped caring. The texts aren't there, the shared dreams, the kind words, the flowers, the notes, and you say, "Well, that was exhausting. I got married so I could stop doing those things." But the little things speak to her. 2 years ago when we talked, I gave a little thing of sticky notes out. I gave a bag to the guys. We have another bag for you. Gave a little thing of sticky notes and gave a whole bunch of suggestions, just taking a sticky note, writing, "Can't wait to see you tonight," sticking it on her coffee cup, putting it a mirror, "See you when I get home," putting it in her makeup drawer, "I love you still," okay? These little things all of a sudden begin to fill us up. You think that's silly. Well, One of the guys from 2 years ago said, hey, he said, I did that thinking this is silly. He said, my wife was like putty in my hands. She really responded. So little things say I love you. And little things like putting your arm around her when you're in church, just a text, thinking about you. We have a bag for you, and in this bag, when you leave, it's in a very nondescript bag, very male, all right? No instructions, no flowers. There's four cards, and they're very small cards. We didn't get the big ones, very small ones. Sitting in your truck, your car, to just say, write a quick note. Say a kind thing. Thanks for making dinner every day. And just stick it somewhere for her. Little things like that make a difference. The sticky notes. We have a little sheet with stuff to do. Hand her the sheet and say, hey, give me a honey-do list. Put it in order of priority. Don't know when I can get to it, but I'd like it. That says to her, wow, you're thinking about me. If you really have lots of conflict, go to her and tell her, go online and I want you to take the love language test for me. It takes 5 minutes. If you say to her, you don't even have to take it for yourself. Don't do it. Go to her and say, take it from me. Do you know how fast she'll be online and how fast you'll get that back? And how much she'll feel loved and appreciated because you're thinking about her? Little things. In here are also date ideas. Ways to turn your wife on and turn your wife off. Phrases that keep your love alive. We did all the work for you. You get to grab a bag, stuff it in your car, and use it to your heart's content until next year. Because we know you're probably not going to fill it up. We're going to have to fill it up for you. So that's number two. Number two, so first is that she needs to feel loved. Number two, her emotions. Women deal with multiple thoughts and emotions from their past and present at all the time, at the same time, and these cannot be easily dismissed. So we get these involuntary emotional pop-ups that show up at random times, and we can't compartmentalize like you. We can't just not think about it, right? So that's way out of nowhere, they bring up something that happened 2 years ago. Mark often would say to me, can we just stay on the incident right here in front of us? And I think, can I? Like, can I? Where did that pop-up come? Are you always, and 4 years ago, and so it's this pop-up. So, or she seems to obsess about something that would just be better left alone. You guys just say, leave it alone. Or she gets an idea in her head and fixates on it, even though you've told her it's not such a big deal. Because it's this busy computer with all these windows open, all running at once, intruding with little ability to ignore it. So, I mean, sometimes just ask your wife what's going on in your brain right now. Just tell me while she's sitting there. One time when the kids were little, I was sitting working on teaching curriculum. The dinner was in the oven, the dryer just went off, clothes need to be taken out, and the kids were wrestling in the background. And I was listening to this, and I could tell that it was getting close to a fight. They'd been, you know, and I yelled, hey, knock it off. You're done wrestling. You can't wrestle. Did this two times. Mark's sitting reading in a chair. And I said, hey, Mark, right? Can you hear that? And he said, what? And I said, you have to intervene with the kids or they're going to have a fight. And he yells over, hey, what did your mom say? Neil, it's probably six at the time, he goes, they stop wrestling. They sit up. He said, what did your mom say? And Neil says, she says, we're not supposed to have any fun. And Mark goes, that about sums it up. And he said, why can't you just concentrate on your class? And I'm sitting there, because I can't. So he says, well, don't worry about the kids and the laundry. I'll take care of those. So it's helping me to shut the windows that are too hard, right? Men open a window, close it. Open a window and close it. So the brain wiring between the sexes is just different. And it's important. It makes her a really good task manager and a really good multitasker, especially at home with the kids. These are given by God. So her memory is also tied up to her emotions and language. It just brings these pop-ups. So that's why you get blindsided about when she brings up something that happened 2 years ago, or you're surprised at an emotional reaction, all of a sudden hurt by something outside the moment's mood. Or you're surprised when a conversation suddenly turns into an argument, or annoyed when she jumps around from conversation. All of a sudden, you're here, and she's over here on these three different things. You think, where did that come from? Like, how did you get there? They're just there. So I want to give you some simple strategies to close those windows. Okay, how you can earn points helping her. So one, just remind yourself she can't not think about it and it frustrates her. She's not really trying to be that way, but that's just in her brain. Two, if it involves your relationship, listen and just reassure her. Three, if it doesn't involve you, listen and encourage her to take some kind of action. Or if you can, take it away from her. You know, you can say things like, it sounds like, she's talking about a friend, it sounds like if you called her right now, you might feel better. Like, can I help you close that window? Or what could I do to help shut the door on this situation? So the key is to find out how to close the windows, the pop-ups, which leads us into listening. How do you listen to your wife? So first, when she is sharing an emotional problem, what she's feeling about the problem is actually more important to her than the problem itself, usually. So let's have that video.
It's just, there's all this pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me. And I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head. And it's relentless. And I don't know if it's going to stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever going to stop.
Yeah. Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there...
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing...
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen. No,
see, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
see,
out.
See, you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just... Sometimes it's like... There's this achy... I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
That sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow!
Oh, come on. If you would just...
Don't...
Try to see things my way. Do I have to keep on...
So what she's feeling is the real problem first, and listening to her solves the problem. So that's why she says, I don't need you to fix it, I just need you to listen. Or says you're not listening when you've been listening for half an hour. So let's go to solutions. Number one, ignore the problem temporarily and give her your full attention. Focus on the feeling first. You can even say, sweetheart, do you need me to listen or fix this, all right? Two, acknowledge her feelings out loud. Affirm and sympathize. I'm so sorry you had such a hard day with the kids. I remember Mark coming home one time, where are my cherubs? And I said, they're not cherubs. They're not cherubs, they're animals. And smart listening tells a woman louder than anything that she's known, she's cared for, she's loved, and that you're just trying to understand how she feels. So just being able to share really helps her and fixes something. So, number three, help her understand in advance what your limits are. Like men, we know men don't talk as much as women. So let me have that picture up there. This is a group of men in a therapy group. The men find it difficult to express his feelings, so at this men's therapy group, husbands are encouraged to open up. These men are playing poker and eating pizza. They are not talking. So men do not talk like women talk. You need to be able to say to her, my brain starts to check out at a certain point. I remember Mark sending me down one time saying, honey, I love to talk, but I can't be your best girlfriend. Like, I can only talk. I have, like, this 15-minute window, and whether I like it or not, my brain starts to check out. So I began to understand, oh, I got to give all the details to my girlfriend if I want my husband to like to talk to me. And the other thing is bottom line up front, right? He said bottom line up front, like when we're having this problem with the kids, I need to come and say, okay, we need to get rid of some of the kids, right, honey? And then fill in the detail, the neighbors hate us and what the kids did all day long with the neighbors. So bottom line up front, and I've had to learn that. That's a hard process for me, for women. So if you tell them, can you help us there, then go into the details. So get the listening sequence right. Emotions acknowledged, solution comes next. She may already have the solution. She may not. So the person who listens well has enormous power. You really hold a lot of power. So number four, decoding, all right? The truth is you can figure them out. You are able to do this. Let's have this video.
Hey, Tyler, are you on your way to algebra?
Yeah, I'll see you there.
You're awful!
The preceding joke was brought to you by men.
Men, we don't know what we did.
So Oscar Wilde said, women are meant to be loved, not understood. One time, Mark, it was dinner. He would usually get home about a half an hour late after he said what time he was going to get home because something would happen at church as he was leaving. And one night, I'm quiet, distant, don't say a lot at dinner, kind of avoided him, and he said, what's wrong? And I said, nothing, of course. Nothing, right? So the truth is there is a logical reason behind the baffling behavior of your wife. There really is. You can do things that hurt her without really understanding that you did it. And your effort to try to figure her out relieves that insecurity that's in her, shows you truly care. If she's tried to explain things to you and you tend to get defensive, angry, she's going to close down and not be direct, but that uncomfortable distance is going to stay there. So that's why she says just do what you want, and what she really means is you better not, right? Or you had a great evening together, something minor happens, and all of a sudden she's putting on her flannel nightgown. Or she pulls away from you even though she wants to pursue you. So what do you do? Well, you can become angry and say, I didn't do anything wrong. She's being irrational, and I'm not going to play this game, right? But then we get back to the maturity versus immaturity issue. Are you going to be, like I heard Mark DuPont saying in the last session, you are the image of Christ, of the church, to your wife. So you want to win the insecurity issue. You want to open the closed heart. So as you pull close to her, and you can explain. I mean, there's always time to talk and help an irrational person see rationality, but here's what you do. Number one, assume there is a reason, and you can find it. Assume I'm fine is not the final answer. And gently ask, continue until she, what she's feeling without getting defensive. You can say, I know you say you're fine, but apparently I've done something I'm not aware of to hurt you. Help me understand what just happened. And can you be gentle, honey? Don't be mad. Mark would often say, do you have to use that tone of voice? And I'm thinking, do I? Me gently say, is it why do you have to say it that way? I think, oh, it hurts him. I didn't realize the tone of voice would hurt him. So the truth is you want this thing to go away. So you want to do the smart thing that makes you her hero again. You want to pursue because some insecurity got triggered. So here's this dinner situation. I'm quiet. Mark says, what's wrong? Nothing. But he pursues. So finally I say, it feels like we're never the priority. I wouldn't say never anymore. Today I would say it feels, recently it's felt like we're not a priority, right? But that's what it was feeling. Well, the truth was, at church there were emergencies and they stalled him time again. And he really loved to be home and he wanted to come home, but that's what was happening. So he said, do you want me to tell the person that stopped me in the parking lot that had a kid in emergency that I didn't have time? I'm thinking, no. That's not the answer. That's not, I don't want you to do that, but I want you home, right? So he began to tell me, I feel sometimes like you're this great luxury in my life that has to get postponed. And I thought, oh, he said luxury, right? There's the woman. Oh, he said, he wants to be with me. So he's reassuring. I want to be with you. I love being with you. I would prefer to say, I'm so sorry, but I've dealt with all the crises today I can. Go call 911, right? But He didn't. So the solution, when he reassured me of his love, was that that warning line turned off, and then I could think clearly, right? So then I think clearly, and if you're mature, the woman will go to God, what do we do? Lord, what do I do here? Because it's not going to stop happening. It's going to keep happening. What's my plan? And the plan was, if he's going to be home a half hour late, just plan dinner 45 minutes later. Why can't you do that? I remember thinking, what a novel idea. Just plan it 45 minutes later and plan for him to bring an extra person. Always he was coming through the door with some stray that needed to eat, right? One day he came home on time, and he said, I'm home. I said, you're here. He goes, I told you I'd be home this time. I'm thinking, you have no idea. So, but that pursuit gets that insecurity trigger off, and then she can think clearly. And if she's really immature in this area, then on another occasion, when there's no conflict, you're not in the middle of it, gently explain to her how men operate and what would help you in those moments, because you really do want to understand and connect with her. So when the tensions aren't high and you sit down and say, let's talk about this, then you can have a much more rational conversation. Now we're at 5, security. Our women need emotional security and closeness with you so much that she's willing to endure financial insecurity to get it. Now, I want you to remember, masculinity is desirable. A strong man with a plan and leading. In a poll that went out to thousands of women, they asked, these were women who hadn't gotten married and they were in their 30s and 40s, they said, why aren't you married? First question was, I haven't found a man who can keep a job, okay? The very first question they wanted to know about the guy they wanted to marry is, does he have a job? So it's very, very important. But because she wants closeness with you, she's going to accuse you of not caring when you're working really long hours for her to provide security for her and the kids. Or she says she wants you around more, but she still also wants the really nice things that come from your high-paying job. Or says she doesn't feel close to you, but you're married in the same house, sharing the same bed. So here's the inner life of Mr. Provider. You believe that longer hours equals more love. You're doing it for her. So you say women want security means I can't stop running. I need to do whatever I have to do to ensure that she isn't financially insecure. And that means if I have to work really long hours or stick with a job I don't like all that much, so be it. You're being very sacrificial. But I want to point out a couple things. Money talks, but emotional security sings. There are many times when people who are incredibly financially secure get a divorce because that emotional thing is very, very important. You spend more time at work. It appears to her that that's your priority, not her, even though you're doing it for her. Number two, emotional security and closeness first, financial security second. Now let me explain that a little. 7 out of 10 women said they'd rather endure financial struggles than distance in a relationship. That's very different from a guy who can't keep a job, right? Mark said something one time that was very telling. He said, men, no women want to get in your car with you and drive around in circles till you run out of gas. So the truth is she wants both things, but she's going to go first to that emotional closeness to you. So 2 points, women feel stress knowing that their husband is working long hours at a job that causes him stress just to provide a certain level of income. They don't want that. And no one wants them to take a family-friendly job that would make them unhappy or fulfilled. So remember, we're pulling 15,000 women in general. So what do you do? Okay, if she says she wants you around more, she's probably willing to downsize your lifestyle if it's necessary to make that happen. Realize you don't have to stay in a job you dislike. Your wife prefers you to be happy. And keep doing the little things that build that closeness to her. Remember, reassurance heals insecurity, pursuit prevents a lot of insecurity. So, this woman wrote this thing. When I was little, we lived in a small house in a neighborhood that wasn't great, but we loved our life. Dad was happy. He'd come home from work. We'd play. He was so much fun to be around. But when I turned 11, Dad wanted to provide a better future, so he decided to have a special home built outside the city. We didn't have a ton of money, so he did a lot of work himself, and he said we were worth it. But he didn't realize what all the extra stress and pressure would do to all of us, and it began to wear my dad down, and we lost the happy dad and got a grumpy dad instead. He stopped playing with us so much and seemed on edge a lot, not relaxed or fun. I knew he was sacrificing himself for our sake, but I wanted him more than I wanted the new house and the better school. We just wanted happy dad back. So there's a balance. It's not a real easy balance to keep, but at least you know what she's thinking, how she's thinking. You are more than a paycheck. You do hold the key to her sense of security, even in hard financial times. And her security isn't all about what you earn, but about who you are, and how you love counts most of all. So emotional security leads to intimacy, so we do have to bring up the big number 6 about sex. Love brings intimacy. Both male and female desire closeness here. So why does she rarely initiate? Say she enjoys it, but she never really wants to start it. Says not tonight, even though she claims that you're irresistible and she loves you, and or says she doesn't feel close enough for sex when sex would bring you closer. So I'm going to just bring 5 truths about women and sex, because when women avoid their husband's advances, it really doesn't have to do with his desirability. It has to do with her physical difference, her need for closeness in the relationship outside the bedroom, and the need for anticipation time. So, truth number 1, she has a lower sex drive, actual lower sex hormones than you, and she'd change it if she could, but that's the truth. Most women are not wired to crave sex like men do, but they enjoy it just as much. So that makes them less likely to initiate and more susceptible to distractions. The noise in the kids' room, the pop-ups in the mind that won't go away, the prep for tomorrow, they're all there, setting the doctor's appointment, calling the kids at college. Those windows have to close down for her. They're just all open, and she can't turn on a dime. Point 2, she needs more warm-up time than you do. So she's running after the kids, cooking and cleaning, so it just takes her longer to get her mind there. So her mind's like set on a course, like a cruise ship, headed for a port, and it just doesn't turn on a dime. It's like these 10 computer women's windows are open, begging for attention, and there's got to be time to shut all those windows down, all right? Number 3, women aren't anywhere nearly as visual as men. God did that. Your body does not by itself get her where you want her to quickly go. She may love you, love your looks, but that's not where intimacy starts for her. Number 4, it starts in her heart. So her ability to respond to you is really tied to how she emotionally feels about you in that moment. So how you treated her in the morning matters. Did you kiss her goodbye? What did you say? What were your conversations? She's not keeping score. She just can't help the feelings. So you have power in how you treat her to move her much more quickly in that direction. Shut down the windows. Be kind. And number 5, she wants pleasure as much as you do. And if it's not happening, she may become just reluctant. So you need to learn to ask her questions. Talk, even if she's shy, and show love and connection by seeking a professional if you need to. Something isn't working normally, you be the one to say, let's figure it out, honey. I don't know what to do, but let's figure this out. So, what do? Give her warm-up time to anticipate, call or text her on lunch. What are you doing? I'm thinking about you. Give her a heads up. Women want to be romantically pursued. It's as powerful as your sex drive. Simple eye contact across the room. She's over there, you're here, you smile, you wink at her. It says it does something in her that cuddle and talk after the kids are in bed. Make sure that the kitchen is clean. Say something kind every single day. Help her close the windows and get her mind in the right place. Now, the book I've been telling you about, there's all kinds of stories, details, very, very helpful. So after, we're going to have this book on sale out in the lobby for $15 that help you get more clarity in all of these areas. So number 7, our final one, is about beauty. Can I have that picture? Science has concluded that the average wife needs more and more cosmetics and hygiene products every year to function normally. Scientists like Norman have discovered that the average husband requires no cosmetic products because he is already so very beautiful. So why does she say, does this make me look fat? Why does she say, how do I look, when there's mirrors in every single bedroom in the house? Why does she make you feel like you did something wrong when she says, how do I look, and you say, fine? Or take so darn long to get ready every time you go anywhere, or make such a big deal if your eyes linger on another woman, another beautiful woman just passing by. One time, we were at a restaurant. Will, our youngest, was about 6. And we were sitting there, and there's this big, giant poster of these 7 cheerleaders, scantily clad, and Will is staring at the picture. And Mark looks over and says, they're pretty beautiful, aren't they? And Will says, yeah, never takes his eye off the picture. Mark says, almost as beautiful as your mom, huh? And Will says, way more. So inside your smart, secure wife lives a little girl who really wants to know if you find her beautiful. It's just there, right? And that you only have eyes for her. They subconsciously compare themselves to everyone around them, and she looks to you for cues. Does she measure up in your eyes? And it's just bombarded from the outside with expectations. Look younger, look sexier, lose weight, get rid of the wrinkles. Beauty is a part of the life of a woman. So what do you do? Simple actions. Tell her, I should have the next slide up there. Tell her she's beautiful regularly. Because the translation really is, you are loved. She knows where she fits. You know, most women, they know where they line up, but just you saying, you are beautiful, just says, I love you. And make sure that your visual choices show her that she's the only woman for you. If your eyes wander, then not only is she not affirmed, but she's back in competition. And I can tell you that this is going to become very costly for you, because she's going to do all kinds of things to get your attention back. And in the process, no matter what she does, she's going to be resentful and insecure. I cannot tell you how many times women have come into my office after they've gotten married and suddenly find their husband on a website. Porn becomes an issue. And she begins to spend money to get his attention back. She goes in for the after-baby body lift, breast implants, provocative clothing. Do you know that body work starts at $4,000 and the average is $15,000? And I can tell you 20 women that just did this because of what they found their husband. So just in a cost analysis basis, okay, this is really bad for your budget, all right? She's trying to get, you have a tremendous ability to build her up or tear her down in this issue. But if there really is an issue, there's a physical issue in your marriage, then she probably feels pretty terrible anyway, all right? And your disappointment makes it worse. But let her know, I'm on your side. I am on your side. I love you no matter what. How can I help you with this thing? Because inside your smart, secure wife is a little girl who really wants to know that you find her beautiful and that you only have eyes for her. This is the way you open the heart. The more she knows the Lord and walks with the Lord, the more she's going to get her deepest security from him and become more beautiful in all ways to you. And you are the, as Christ is to the church, to her. Your affirmation, your kindness, your pursuit settles things in her heart. So the very last question that they asked women in this survey was, What's the most important thing you wish your husband or boyfriend knew, but you feel you haven't been able to explain in a way he understands? And after all those other things that they said, this is what they said. He is my life. How deep my love and respect is for him, how much I appreciate him, how much I care for his happiness and his feelings and his well-being, how happy he makes me, how dearly I appreciate his hard work. I feel incredibly lucky to be with him today, and I would trust him with my life. You really are their hero. You are not their God, but they want you. So, in summary, you can get what you want in this relationship if you understand better what's in her head, you bring a humble attitude, be willing to practice, and give the process time. So I just want to say as you leave that there is a bag back there with all of those suggestions. The book for men only, How Women Think, What's Inside of Them. And one of the things that the women said as they read the book is how much they, the women, did not know and understand about men and how much the relationships changed once they understood and started doing things differently. So we probably have time for just a couple of questions, and if there's any questions out there that you want to broach in front of all these other male figures in the room. Yes, sir.
Going back to decoding.
Decoding.
When I ask my wife a question, if I can do something, if she wants to do something, if I can go somewhere, buy something, and her answer is, I guess so. She's probably really saying no, huh?
When I ask my wife a question, what do you want to do? And she says, I guess so. She's probably saying no. I would press a little farther. What does that mean? I guess so. I'm not sure what that means. Does that mean you...
That's my typical answer I get a lot when I want to do something. Either I guess so or if that's what you want to do.
And she may have no opinion. I guess so if that's what you want to do. But you could press a little more. What does that mean? Do what you want. I'm fine. Then you say, well, you said it, so I'm going to assume you're fine. Otherwise, you'll have to communicate a different way. Yes, sir.
Is there a way to prevent, you're having a communication with your wife, and you have perfect agreement. To get them to stop talking, you have to have an agreement.
Okay, you have an agreement with your wife, you've talked about it. Is there a way to get her to stop talking?
At the point of agreement.
Probably not necessarily, unless... Like I said, you talk in advance and you say, men only are able to listen within this window. So outside of a conflict, you're not telling her, I don't care what you think. So you say, okay, honey, can we stop? The first thing an immature woman will say is, you don't care what I think. But if outside of that you said, I do, but I only have this big of a window. And then in the conversation you could say, I think we're pushing that window. Okay? I think we're pushing that window. When Mark said, I only have a 15-minute attention span, what was my first reaction? He actually didn't define it, but I could tell from practice where that was. Well, my first thing as an immature woman was, I want to be heard. But as a Christian, I'm thinking, am I going to listen to truth or lies? Here's a man who loves me who's trying to tell me how men think. So he's being very kind. Honey, this is the way men think, and this is what we do well. And in me, I wanted him to want to talk to me. I really do want him to want to talk to me, so I have to learn to say less. It's very hard for me still to do bottom line up front. Okay, what is the bottom? Because I have to ask myself, what is the bottom line?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what it is, right? And sometimes, you have to communicate to her, I'm not trying to hurt you. This is just my capacity. Like a runner can only run so far, and then they start to check out. Tell her on another time and then say, I don't know, have a code word. I think I'm reaching my capacity. doesn't have anything to do with hurt or your, yes.
One thing you can do is say, what you're saying is really, really important. And before you say any more, let me see if I understand what you're saying so far.
Okay, he says one thing you can do is say, what you're saying is very important. Let me see if I can understand what you're saying so far. And then reiterate what you do. Yes, sir.
As fathers coming home to young kids after work, what's the best thing we can do to peel back the onion and help our wives decompress? Is it listen to them? Is it take the kids?
As fathers coming home from work, what's the best way we can help our wives? Well, I would say ask her. Why don't you just ask her first? What is her greatest need? When you walk in the door, is it take the kids for 20 minutes so I can have a break? Just ask her. Or I would say first, go hug her. I'm so glad I'm home. I'm so glad I get to come home to you. That's a big deal right there, right? And then make a plan with her. What would it be help you with dinner? Or you can even tell her, I have such a stressful job. If you'd give me 15 minutes before the kids are mine, that would be really, really helpful to me. So I think you have to just ask and help her figure that out. Right here.
The subject of telling your wife consistently, you know, how beautiful she looks, sometimes it seems like, okay, honey, you've told me enough. The response is like, what am I not, does she think I'm being I see her as this beautiful woman. It's like, I want to tell you all the time, but are you getting tired of me telling you this?
Right. I tell my wife she's beautiful. Doesn't it at some point lose its power? I don't think so in general. Mark tells me every day, I think you're beautiful, and I laugh. I say, you have rose-colored glasses, but it still feels good. It still feels good. I mean, if she says, you don't need to tell me that, say, well, what would you like to hear, you know? I mean, but I don't know any woman that ever said, you don't need to say that anymore. Just say it. Okay, last couple questions. Yes, sir.
Okay, so how can you communicate that a conversation maybe is not the time at that point? Like,
yes.
Like eventually, sometimes I come from work and I have a million things, and then we have dinner, and then the kids run to, you know, get the shower or whatever, and all of a sudden she comes out with something like,
okay.
In my mind, I was just like, I thought we were going to talk about how good the meal was. just to start a conversation, but then she brings like, you know, these big old deep stuff, and I'm like, I wasn't ready for that, and then she thinks like, well, you're never ready for it.
So when's the right time? Yeah. Well, I think you can express timing's important. This is an important issue. And I don't know you, if you table something so many times and she says it's never the right time. I think it's giving her the right time. You won't have my full attention if we try to talk about this right now. Could we talk about this in an hour when the kids are in bed? Or I'd really like to table this to tomorrow night at 7. I mean, so I think it's fair to be able to say, wow, I don't know what I think about that right now. That's a lot. You just gave me a lot. I need time to process this if you want me to speak well, right? I think that's a fair thing to say. I don't know what to say right now. Let me think about that. If she has a million words, you could even say, can you actually write this down, honey? Maybe this is pretty important. Do you think you could write your feelings down and I could read it and think about it? And then we could have a really good conversation. It's one way to go, but giving a time. Let's do this now.
I have a suggestion for him. He could say, I really want sex right now so we can trade.
Okay, right. Good examples. Okay, we are at 11:55. I think you have lunch at 12. So I'm going to stay here for anyone who wants to come up and maybe ask a few more questions, but say goodbye and thank you for listening. Okay.